It'll be helpful for you this morning if you have your Bibles open at Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. It's good that the boys from Camp Reunion are so close to the front because it means I can see if you have your Bibles open or not. So Exodus chapter 3. You'll find it very helpful because it's quite a long section that we're looking at this morning. And it'll be good for you to see where these words are in God's truth. This morning we're thinking about the call of Moses. Moses being called to deliver God's people from Egypt. The first two chapters of Exodus, they cover a period of time of 400 years. Joseph and his family have arrived and settled in Egypt. And they experience comfort and peace for most of that time. But then we're told that a new Pharaoh comes to power and he didn't know Joseph. That is, he didn't really care for the great things that Joseph had done for the land of Egypt. So 400 years previously, Joseph had saved Egypt. And this Pharaoh doesn't care. But in fact, it's worse than that. We're told that he hates God's people. And so the people of God, they now experience slavery and oppression at the hand of this king of Egypt. And so they must have been asking the question, has God forgotten his promise? Has God forgotten that he is going to give us a special place to live? Has God forgotten that he's going to bless us and that he will be our God and we will be his people? The first two chapters give us this 400 years of context to this question. The next 38 chapters of Exodus are going to answer this question. And the next 38 chapters cover 1 year. So chapters 1 and 2 cover 400 years. Chapters 3 to 40 cover 1 year. What is the answer? Has God forgotten his promise? Or will God save his people? Will God rescue them and show love to them? Will God bring his people to a special place? Will he be their God, and will they be his children? And of course, the answer is God hasn't forgotten. Of course he will save. And we saw ourselves in our own congregation last week that God sees, God hears, and God knows. He hasn't forgotten his people. And part of the answer that God hasn't forgotten is the fact that God is going to provide a deliverer. Somebody who's going to bring the people of Israel up out of Egypt. And that deliverer is Moses. But as God does this, he's actually doing something even greater. Because God is actually preparing us for a more wonderful deliverer. God is preparing us for an even greater salvation. God is teaching us that there is an even greater place than the land of Canaan. The greater deliverer is Jesus Christ. The greater salvation is from sin, from Satan's kingdom. The greater place is the new heavens and the new earth. And Exodus helps us in understanding this answer. God hasn't forgotten his promise. God will save. God will bring his people to be with himself. And God is going to use a deliverer to do that. Well, into that, we come to chapter 3. And we see that God is calling this deliverer to follow him. This is the call of Moses. And as we apply this passage to ourselves, we see that the same covenant God who saves us through Christ also calls us. Through Jesus Christ, the greater servant, the greater deliverer, we too are being called, but we're not to be like Moses in making excuses, but instead we are to be like Jesus, who willingly obeyed what his Father said and willingly gave himself to deliver us from sin. The call of Moses. The first thing I want us to notice from this passage is that God is revealed. God is revealed. God makes himself known. Moses here encounters God. For 40 years, Moses grew up in a palace, Pharaoh's palace. Moses was a prince. For 40 more years, he was a shepherd, looking after the sheep of his father-in-law. And it's towards the end of those 40 years in a place called Midian that Moses is out looking after the sheep. He's on a mountain called Horeb, which is also known as Mount Sinai. And Moses sees something rather peculiar. He sees a bush that is on fire, but the bush isn't burning up. It's the appearance of the angel of the Lord. It's the appearance of God himself. And out of curiosity, Moses moves closer. And then he hears a voice calling him, "Moses, Moses." Moses says, "Here I am." And God replies, "Don't come any nearer. Take off your sandals, because the place where you are standing is holy ground." Moses meets God. Or perhaps more accurately, God makes himself known to Moses. And Moses is going to learn something about God that should help him when God calls him, when God tells him what he wants Moses to do. Moses needs to know something about God that will help him obey God. Well, we see that God shows himself to be holy, firstly. God shows Moses that he's holy. The word holy means set apart or pure. We see that in this fire that is burning. Throughout Scripture, and we were singing about fire in some of our Psalms, we find that God, when he's described as fire, or when he appears as fire, is showing himself to be a God who is pure, a God who hates sin, a God who is unapproachable. Later on in the Bible, Moses will actually speak of God and say in Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 3, that God is a consuming fire. And then in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29, we're told God is righteous and pure. He is a consuming fire. This is a God who can't look on sin. This is a God who hates sin. This is a God who must punish evil. And God even says to Moses, "The place where you are is holy ground. Don't come any closer, Moses." God is unapproachable. We can't come to him on our own because he is holy, because he is pure, because he is a consuming fire. Do you know that about God, boys at camp reunion? Do you know God hates sin? God is holy. But we also see in this fire that God is gracious. What's peculiar about this bush? What's strange about it? That's a question you can answer. What's strange about the bush? It's not being burnt up. The fire is there, But the bush, it's still a bush. It's not being burnt away to ash. God here is being gracious. He's a consuming fire, but he's showing grace in that the bush isn't being burnt up. The fact that Moses is able to be nearby and isn't consumed. Moses was a sinner. Moses is guilty, but yet he isn't burned up by God's holiness. And so God is the one who gives access. God is a consuming fire, but he lets his children approach him. The only reason that we are still living today is that God is gracious. The only reason that we are not struck down dead in God's anger is because God is gracious and patient. He's holy, he's gracious, and next we see God keeps his promises. Verse 7. Then the Lord said, I have seen the affliction of my people, I have heard their cry, I know their suffering. That these are words of God's promise, that they're covenant words. I have seen, I have heard, I know. They're words that tell us that God is going to act on what he has said. God has promised that he will save this people. And now God says, I have seen them, I hear them, I know them. That means we know God is going to do something. God is going to keep his promise. This is the covenant Lord. And repeatedly in chapter 3, we have God saying, I am the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who has made promises, and the God who keeps these promises. God even calls himself, I am who I am. It's a verb, a doing word, that can also, very close to the name Yahweh, the covenant Lord. God says, I am the God who has always been. I am the God who acts. I am the God who remembers. I am the God who keeps my promises. I am the Lord. Every time you see Lord in capital letters in your Bible, that's God's name of promise. The promise keeping God. He's holy. He's gracious. He keeps his promises. And then in verse 8, we see that God saves. God says, I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. I'm going to bring my people up out of the land of Egypt to a good and pleasant place. God shows Moses, I am the God who saves. He's holy, so we can't stand before him. But he's also loving, and he saves, so we can stand before him. And that's a wonderful thing. And we're going to think about how we do that in a moment. But this is the God who saves. And he's the God who's powerful. Moses is going to come up with some excuses, but God is going to give Moses two signs to perform that will show God's people that they're to believe. The first sign, it's there in chapter 4, is that Moses is to throw down his staff, and the staff becomes a serpent or a snake, and Moses is then to pick it back up again. The serpent or the snake, it's a representation of evil. God is saying here to Moses, I have power over evil. I defeat evil. I am the powerful God. Egypt and the pharaohs were often depicted with snakes or in as serpents. God says, I have power. Ultimately, Satan inhabited the serpent to tempt Eve. God says, I have power. I'm the strong God. I'm the one who will win the victory. The second sign is that Moses is to put his hand inside his coat And then he pulls it out again, and his hand is covered in leprosy, a skin disease. It looks white, has all these patches on it. And then Moses puts his hand back in, takes it out, and it's all healed. It's restored. God is saying, I am the God who brings life. I'm the God who heals. God is telling Moses, I am strong and powerful. I do these things. God shows himself to Moses. God lets Moses know who he is. And we have the whole revelation of God. God shows us who he is in his word. And in particular, God has shown who he is in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Through God the Son, we see what God is like. The glory of God that came down from heaven to earth. The glory of God that dwelt among us. And in Christ Jesus, we see not just God's holiness, but we see God's grace, God's love, as Jesus Christ went to the cross for us. And in Jesus Christ, we see God who saves, providing the way for us to come to a holy God. Jesus taking the punishment we deserve so that we can have access. We see God's power over sin and over death as Jesus defeats sin and death, rises from the dead. God has made himself known. That means God has made himself known to you. Do you know this God? God has revealed who he is in his word. Do you know this God? We have this revelation. Or do you make excuses? Because we see, secondly, here, not just that God is revealed, but Moses is reluctant. Moses is reluctant. Moses makes excuses. God calls Moses to do something in verse 10 of chapter 3. He says, come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And God has said, this is who I am. This is what I want you to do. And then Moses, on hearing it, says, oh, wait a minute, God. I'm not too sure about this. Look at verse 11. Let's look at these excuses that Moses makes. The first one in verse 11 is Moses says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Egypt, or children of Israel, out of Egypt? Moses is saying, I'm not the right person. I don't have the right experience. God, haven't you seen what I've been doing the last 40 years? I've been looking after sheep. Who am I to go? Why didn't you call me when I was younger? Why didn't you call me when I was stronger? Why didn't you call me to do this when I was a prince in Egypt? I'm now an 80-year-old shepherd. Who am I? Moses is making an excuse. Moses' second excuse is in verse 13. When they ask me who sent you, what is his name? When they ask me that, what will I say? That's Moses' excuse. What will I say? God, I don't have the theology. I don't have the understanding. I don't have the information I need. I need more training. God, I need more teaching. I need more information. I don't know what to say to them. It's an excuse. Moses' third excuse or his objection. Chapter 4, verse 1. What if they don't believe? What if they don't listen to me? They'll say, the Lord didn't appear to you. Remember, God's people have been experiencing slavery and oppression They've had it tough. They've been suffering. For 400 years in Egypt, there's been relative silence from God. And now in these last few years, with all of this oppression and suffering, Moses says, I'm expected to go and say to them that you've sent me. They're not going to believe me. Moses' fourth excuse, verse 10 of chapter 4. Oh my Lord, I'm not eloquent, either in the past or since you've spoken to your servant, but I'm slow of speech and tongue. Moses says, I don't have the gifts. That's not really my strength, God. I don't know if I could do that. I feel very insufficient. Not able to do it. The last excuse of Moses is in verse 13 of chapter 4. Please send someone else. I don't want the responsibility. Anyone but me. As we look at these excuses, it's amazing to think that Moses believes he knows better than God. Moses is saying to God, you've chosen the wrong person. God, you have made a mistake in having me here at this time. Moses is saying, God, you don't know what you're doing. God, let me put you right on a couple of areas where you've made a mistake. In fact, at the heart of Moses' reluctance is his belief that he has better reasons to disobey God. God, it's better for me to not do what you say than to do what you tell me to do. And now let me give you my reasons. Number one, I don't have the right experience. Number two, I don't have enough information. Number three, I don't know if they will believe. Number four, I'm not very gifted. Number five, please send someone else. Now, before we are too hard on Moses, perhaps we have made some or all of these excuses. As I said, God has revealed himself in his word. God tells us who he is. And in particular, through God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, we read and we hear of a holy God, the just God. We read about the God who's promised salvation. We read about the God who saves a people for himself. And not only do we have this revelation, but God calls us to follow him in Christ. And yet, how many times do we make excuses? We know who God is because he's shown us. But then at times we say, Lord, not right now. Now's not a good time for me. I don't know if I'm gifted that way. God, I don't know if you've chosen the right person. Why have me in this situation at this time? God, you've obviously made a mistake. Well, no, he hasn't. And like Moses, it is wrong when we make these excuses. Perhaps this morning, you're not a Christian. And if you're not a Christian this morning, then God has made a call to you. It's a call to follow him through Jesus Christ. But maybe you are making excuses this morning. Maybe you are saying, but God, you don't really know what I'm like. You don't know how bad I've been. God, you don't know my situation. God, I don't have all the information. I don't know certain things. God, now's not a good time. But they're just excuses. Because this morning, God has shown you who he is in his word. The holy God who must punish sin, and yet a God who is gracious and loving enough to provide a way that you might come to him and be forgiven and be brought into his family and know salvation and know his promises. And yet by you turning your back on God, like Moses, you're just making excuses. God has revealed himself. And you are to listen. You're to obey. You're to turn to him. As Christians, we're also called to do certain things. We're called to worship. We're called to witness. We're called to fellowship together. We're called to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. We know who God is because God has revealed himself. But yet we too can make excuses. God, you don't know my circumstances. God, I'm not good enough. I don't know if I can do. I don't know if I can tell that person of Jesus Christ. I don't have the abilities that others do. Lord, I'm just not sure you have me in the right place. Or Lord, just use someone else. But friends, they're sinful excuses. Just like Moses is making here. But that leads us thirdly and finally to God's response. God's response. Because God makes reassurances. Listen to what God says in response to Moses. Verse 12. I will be with you. Another way to say that is, Moses, it's not about you. Moses, it's not about you. I am with you. I am God. I have sent you. I am calling you. Moses, this is what I am doing. This is the great I am, the eternal covenant God, the one whose name endures forever, and he is the one calling. So Moses, when you say, I don't know if I can do this, I say to you, it's not about you. It's about me. It's about what I can do, and I am with you. Moses was meant to be looking out towards God, looking to the one who called him to serve, the covenant God of promise. This is the reassurance that Jesus gave his disciples as he sent them out to go to all nations. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He is with us. Can we obey God? Can we go and witness to that person? Can we serve him faithfully? Can we live in the circumstances in which he's placed us? Yes. Because it's not about me. I am with you. I am sending you. Perhaps your excuse is, I don't know enough. I need more teaching, more information. But God then says to Moses in response, I am who I am. Tell them that. Tell them that the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is the one who sent you. Look at verse 16. God says to Moses, go and say, here's what you say, the Lord God has sent me. The God of saving promise. Maybe you feel that you're not well equipped enough. Maybe you think, I can't speak to people. I don't know enough. I'll make a mistake. Is it not enough to say you know the Lord Jesus Christ? You know the God of promise. I know God. And I know that he has promised salvation. I know Jesus Christ. I mightn't be able to answer all your questions, but I know who has sent me. I know the one who has said, I am who I am. I know the one who has said, I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light of the world. Friends, we have the name that is above every name. And sometimes it's enough to say, I know him. This is my God. Let me tell you about him. Moses' third excuse was that the people might not believe. They won't listen. And so God then provides signs. Signs that show his power over wickedness and death. And friends, God has given us signs. Signs for his people. He's given us a cross and an empty tomb. A cross where there is no Savior because he has taken the full punishment. And because he was placed in the tomb. But a tomb where there is no Savior because he has defeated sin and death and risen from the dead. And that's the sign that we have to give to people. We say to them, I know he is God because he died, because he rose again from the dead. Here is my proof. Here is my evidence. God responds to Moses' fourth excuse. He tells Moses that the one who forms the mouth will give the words. God says, go, I will be your mouth. I will help you. I will give you the words to say. And friends, God equips us. He helps us and strengthens us that we might serve. God will never call us to anything that he won't equip us for. And finally, as Moses gives his last excuse, please send someone else. God is angry with Moses. You see, Moses is not the perfect servant. Yes, God is going to use Moses to deliver the people up from Egypt. But Moses is still a flawed man. God provides Aaron, his brother, to help him. But more than that, we thank God that he has provided a willing servant. A perfectly obedient servant. One who in the eternal counsel of God, along with the Father and the Spirit, said, send me. One who said, I will go. One who said, here I am to do the will of my Father, Jesus Christ. And God, as he reveals himself, has provided the deliverer. Jesus. Because Moses is flawed like us. But through Jesus Christ, the one who delivers, the one who sets us free from sin, God then calls us to follow the perfect servant. God calls on us to obey. He calls on us to do as he has said. And in Jesus Christ, all of our excuses are answered. There's no excuse to refuse him or to disobey him. But rather in its place, there are numerous reassurances. I will be with you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you. I am the perfect, willing servant. I am the one who goes before you. God makes himself known. And God does so to reassure us, and to teach us, and to show us that there is only one way of salvation. And that through the willing servant, Jesus Christ. And so God then calls on you to follow. Are you still making excuses? Are you still being disobedient? Or are you following your Savior, the one who willingly came and said, send me. Amen.